Blog Talk Radio.
Hey yo, Big Wave. Turn the mic on. Small time alongside JW.
My bestie and your bestie sit down by the fire. Your bestie says she want parties, so can we make these flames go higher? Talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. I go, ane. Chucking more fina, anane. Chucking more fina, ane. Start my truck, let's all jump in. Here we go together. Nice cool breeze, and big palm trees. I tell you life don't get no better. Talking about hey now.
Pop it low now, take you to the max now. Jam in this small jam way. Jam in this small jam way.
My bestie and your bestie dancing by the fire. Your bestie says she want parties, so can we make this place go higher? Talking about hey now.
Straight up, right, hoochie mama. Make we party non-stop in a island banda. Swing those hips and back it up to me ragga. A chance for party ladies with the doggy doggy. I'm drumming island reggae, rapping blue, green and yellow. We tapping on me beat, make a slow wine for me baby. Speakers pumping, people jumping. We drumming the island way.
Shout out to the good time crew all across the island. Grab your shoes, let me two by two. And now we shining bright like diamonds. Talking about
hey now.
Wind up, go down, wind up, go down. Twist your body back, back.
We go
left, left, we go right, right. Turn it around and forward.
Wind up, go down again.
Wind up, go down, wind up, go down. Twist your body back, back.
Twist it back.
We go left, left, we go right, right. Turn it around and forward.
My bestie and your bestie dancing by the fire. Your bestie says you want parties, so can we make this place go higher? Talking about
hey now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. That's the beauty of Tuesday. Hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello,
hi,
Pam.
Phil.
How are you?
Hi, Naomi.
Hello, thanks. Pam. Good to be back.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, you're such a party animal. You've been going forever.
I know, it's like summer is like crazy. The kids keep popping in and out and in and out, and they're here a week and then they leave and then another kid comes. I made too many kids. That's what happens when you have four kids. Yeah,
oh.
And then when they're not here, the grandkids are, so.
Yep, I know that deal. I know that. That's one thing. I have to take every day between 10 and 12 until everybody's quiet.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you back. Now tell us about your show for tonight.
Yeah, well, it's summer, and, you know, everybody's going around happy and smiling. Anyway, I am. And, yeah, so I discovered these three artists, and, yeah, I had them in my, in my memory on my cell phone for their art forever, because I thought they were just, like, fantastic, you know, like, for when I first saw some of the pictures, I said, my gracious, this is a photograph. Can't be, you know, can't be just pencil work and, you know, pen, you know, one of the artists draws with a ballpoint pen, you know. But, yeah, so there's Shania McDonough. She's from the west of Ireland. And, you know, she's the one that made the pictures with that look the most realistic, you know, and she's won, you know, so many awards. And then there's a Brazilian artist. He's the one who draws with the ballpoint pen. Gabriel Vinicius. He's a 22-year-old artist from Sao Paulo, Brazil, and he's the one that draws with the pen. So my gracious, you know, with a pen. And then there's Natalia Denger, and she's was from Russia recently, but you know, she's been in the U.S. for she's now a U.S. citizen, and so her I have her right drawings up too, so a lot of them are hers too. So yeah, great smiles, great authors, and great artists. But you know, I just put the prompts up, you know. I didn't really want the poets that they could choose a prompt if they wanted to, but really I just wanted to hear about smiles and, you know, how smiles affected them and their everyday life, you know. And you know, so Francis Scott Fitzgerald, I just loved, you know, his quote. It was only a sunny smile, and little it cost in the giving, but like morning light it scattered the night and made the day worth living. So, you know, that really caught me. That really, you know, I thought it was so beautifully written. And, you know, that quote was just so amazing. So, you know, I just based it on, the artist, but also, you know, just, you know, a smile and how it affects you in your everyday life, or how it affected you in the past, or, you know, so smiley, smiles tonight.
Yep, absolutely.
And the song I chose, well, that's, you know, this our summer song, our go-to song when the kids are here, when my grandchildren are here, like we just swim in the pool and we put on that song and it brings smiles all around. So I just chose that song, Aiko Aiko. So great song for tonight. Hope it made you smile.
It did. I say, listen to this. It's all bouncy and, you know, you can't help but smile. So it's great. Very cool. I did see some of your posts. I said, wow, these are excellent images. And, yeah, they do bring a smile to your face. So, you know, when you can draw that out as something, then you can put something out in the same or in the like, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got to say, Pam? Anything exciting over there?
Not particularly.
Okay. I thought I'd offer you the opportunity to say, you know, hello, goodbye. Yeah. You know, I know. We're gonna...
Make you laugh anyway.
What was it? Oh, never mind. I missed it. Oh, my God. Yes. So, on that note, I don't know. Our board looks pretty cool, pretty busy. Which is nice.
Yeah.
Like that. And I guess I'm going to go ahead and put up your first piece for the evening, which...
Okay, Phil. Great.
I'm going to put this one up for you to read, Naomi. So, and Sam, I'm going to try and take it easy on you tonight. Promise. And here we go with that. Our first piece is going to be Heart in the Stand by Jessica Z.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful choice, Sue. Okay, so Hard in the Sand by Jessica D. Golden Sand tickled by sparkling sea's fingers, kissed by tides, machinations like a Luna lover. Frost and friable, wind-blown swirls awaits liquid kisses, smiling. Sun hot and high turns droplets to diamonds as I walk from the sea, wiping salt water from my eyes and smoothing my hair back, smile sparking as I walk up the beach towards you, drawn by a tractor beam locked on my eyes, laying on a blanket in the center of a giant heart, scribbled into the sand by your lithe fingers, emerald green bikini, long black hair cascading around your shoulders, halts my steps. Toes just touching the edge of your heart and mine. Propping up on your elbows, sunglasses discarded. You smile at me and the sun dims, dipping its head. My heart flutters. My breath catches every time your lips part. I love you, Jessie. As the last syllable echoes through my head, my lips touch yours. Cherry-coated treat. You squeal as cold water drips onto you, laughing, wrapping me in a towel, then a cuddle, wrapping me in you. End poem.
Nice read, Naomi. Very nice.
Oh, yeah, that was a beautiful, beautiful poem by Jessica. You know, it really heartfelt one and, you know, just amazing. And, you know, I was reading the comments down and, you know, she says, you know, if only 5,000 miles didn't separate us, you know, so obviously this is a person that she's met, you know, probably online, long distance relationship and, you know, that makes her dream. And, yeah, just a lovely, heartfelt write here by Jessica D. I just love her descriptions of the beach, you know, the sand and, you know, that first, but, you know, it's very, very touching. The whole poem is just amazing, amazing write here by Jessica D. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is beautiful and heartfelt. I like how she brings us into the romantic setting of the beach and into the intimacy of the moment. I really like the imagery in the second stanza, sun hot and high turns droplets to diamonds as I walk from the sea. And then where it mentions you smile at me and the sun dims, dipping its head, my heart flutters and my breath catches every time. There's such a wonderful sense of intimacy and romanticism within those lines and the capture of that smile that is exchanged between two people who really care about each other. So beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm. I agree with the stanzas you mentioned and the lines. They're so beautiful there. Agree, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think this was beautifully done by Jessica. I thought there was wonderful imagery throughout, and it was heartfelt and loving tale, and it was smile-evoking. When you read this and you see someone's descriptions of how they feel about somebody, you know, you can see the beauty in the moment, the beauty in the person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from a different perspective, of course. But emotionally, it was a wonderful picture painted because it kind of makes you feel good. We all have someone in our lives that has made us feel that way. You know, and it kind of takes you back there a bit. And pulls those thoughts of your own into being while you're reading her words, but just beautifully done. And I thought there were so many lines that I liked. I don't know. I they're all really, really nicely done. But I'll take just the last stanza. As the last cymbal echoes through my head, my lips touch your cherry-coated treat. You squeal as cold water drips onto you, laughing, wrapping me in a towel, then a cuddle, wrapping me in you. What a beautiful ending that is, you know. Just it kind of sums up that snapshot in time, you know, and I think it was just really well done. So great job, Jess, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Wrapping me in you. You know, so that's so beautiful. Yeah, I agree. That last the last line there. Just a way, a beautiful way to show that her love, you know, her love for this person. So great write here by Jessica. Bravo. And Phil, what do you have for us next?
I'm going to put the next piece up for Pam. I didn't forget Pam. I said, I was going to take it easy. So this piece is called A Soft Smile by Wayne Jim.
Oh, I thought he was calling in to read.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see any note here, so I just, well, maybe I just missed
it.
I don't see it.
I don't know. I remember reading it earlier in his AN. Oh, yeah. But, sorry.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, he does say, oh, sorry, I didn't write that. I plan on attending to read the poem. Yeah, so he'll maybe be phoning in later. So sorry I didn't write that down, Phil. It's my fault. I didn't catch that.
That's okay. Neither did I. But okay, let me go back to the drawing board. Okay, Pam, I'll put the next one up by S Sharp. So whenever.
All right. Her Eyes Smile by S Sharp. She smiles at me, waiting on me to touch her. Eyes garnished in playfulness, puppy eyes. Smile at me from the moment I walk in, tail wagging. Now her day begins. Oh, poet, she says, how I love thee. End poem.
Yeah, that's so beautiful by S. Sharp. Yeah, you know, I did, you know, I think it's Natasha Danger that put up that did the drawings of the cat. I could be mistaken, but I think it's her that did the drawing of the cat and the dog. And, you know, they're such a big part of our life, you know, our animals, you know, so I put them up. And they do seem to smile, you know, and in this poem, she says, tail wagging, he smiles, you know, her eyes, he describes the eyes in such a beautiful way, you know, the way that she smiles at me, waiting on me to touch her, you know, of course, you know, with the puppy eyes. So just a beautiful, beautiful testimony of love towards a pet here. I really lovely write here by Scott. And Pam, your thoughts? You read that beautifully.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, it was absolutely a delightful write. I enjoyed that he wrote about the smile, the love and admiration of a dog. And, you know, I really like this all the way through, but especially that ending. And I do have to agree with you that, you know, some animals and pets especially just look like they're smiling at you. But what I love about this ending was, oh, poet, she says, how I love thee. You can imagine reading one of the worst poems you've ever written to your dog. And if they could speak, they would be telling you what a brilliant poet you are because they love you that much, you know? And that whole idea just makes me smile. So very well done.
I agree. Yeah, they do, especially dogs, you know. They love you unconditionally. They just, you can, you know. I don't have a dog. I wish I had one, because I'm a dog person. But I have a cat. She's kind of independent now. She was really, you know, loved me when she was a baby, but now that she's grown up, she's like, feed me and then leave me alone. But you know, yeah, great right here by Scott for sure. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I think Scott did an excellent job with this piece. Wonderful images of a beloved pet. You know, pets are they do love us unconditionally, especially our dogs. Cats, yeah, they're like, whatever, you know. Yeah, like they feed me and they wander away, you know. But dogs especially are like, they're happy to see you when you come in. They're just, you know, just loving, you know. No matter how rotten of a day it is, they kind of give us that lift we need in a day. But yes, Pam, I'm with you. I love those last two lines. Old poetry says, how I love thee. You know, like, you're just wonderful. And you see the tail wagging, you know, and the look on the dog's face as he puts these words in his mind, you know, coming from him, the dog. And, wow, I think I twisted that all up. But, you know, you can kind of imagine the dog, that expression, you know. And I think that was wonderful. And what wonderful little brevity, sweet little brevity. That's what I thought. So,
oh, yeah.
Nice job.
Yeah, thank you indeed. Lovely mm-hmm. brevity, lovely testimony towards a pet here. Yeah, great little write by Scott. And Phil, where are we going next?
Oh, I know where I'm going. They always tell me if I don't change my ways. Yeah. Yep, that's what they say. I'm going to hell if I don't change my ways. Okay. Next one I put up is called Her Enticing Smile by Michael Wright. So here we go. Sitting outside with friends at a dance in the month of July, she saw him sitting by her, by himself. She tried to be discreet. Smiling, she looked at him out of the corner of her eye. The night was balmy and breezy, well lit from stars in the sky. Noticing her, he saw that she was quite pretty and sweet. Sitting outside with friends at a dance in the month of July. Excited, he watched to see if she was with another guy. She enjoyed the music and tapped her finger to the beat. Smiling, she looked at him out of the corner of her eye. Wanting to dance with her, he was timid, but knew he must try. Nervous, he looked again and saw her turn away in her seat, sitting outside with friends at a dance in the month of July. He went over to her table with the expectations high. He asked, she said yes, then she rose to her feet. Smiling, she looked at him out of the corner of her eye. Not 20 years later, they remembered that dance with a sigh, and on this, their anniversary, life has been a blessed treat. Sitting outside together at a dance in the month of July. Smiling, she looked at him out of the corner of her eye. And so on.
Mm. Yeah, I really like this one by Michael Wright. You know, I love the repetition. It adds to the poem. It adds to the moment. Sitting outside with friends at a dance in the month of July. There's a certain melody to it, you know, to that phrase that adds to the whole nostalgia of the piece, and you feel it and when you read it. I just loved it. You know, the way that he captured the meeting of the probably him and his maybe his wife there here today, if it is personal, You know, so I just love how he wrote the whole thing, how he wrote this little poem and captured it so beautifully on paper. And Phil, your thoughts, you read that so beautifully.
Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful villanelle. And as I was reading it, I was like, okay. And it did. It had a little bit of a, I never say anything when I'm supposed to, but I thought it had a wonderful sway to it. The way the worded was great. But when you're reading it or when you're hearing it, it has a sound in your ear that is just very pleasant. As you said, you know, sitting outside together at a dance in the month of July. That's the change off from the original. No, it's not exactly. Yes, it was different than the others. But just enough to change your perspective. And I thought that he captured something here. And I think it was wonderful, you know, when he goes back, you know, now 20 years later, they remember that dance with a sigh. And on this, their anniversary, life has been a blessed treat, sitting outside together at a dance in the month of July, smiling. She looked at him out of the corner of her eye. I thought that ending stanza did pull everything together. And, I just really thought it was a wonderful look back on that anniversary of someone's meeting, you know. And I'm not sure if this is a true story or a made-up story, but either way, it's it was a lovely tale. So, yes, so great job, and thank you so much for writing that, Michael Wright. It was enjoyable, very enjoyable piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope he writes more, you know, for our shows. I always enjoy his writing, Michael Wright. So beautiful right here. And Pam, what did you think of Michael Wright's poem?
I very much enjoyed this, and I agree with you. I hope that we do see more of his writing for our shows. I really like how this is nostalgic and romantic, how it takes a look back at that first eye contact, that first dance, and then brings us forward into 20 years later into the love that extended from that first meeting. And so beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, I agree. Beautiful. You know, very nostalgic and very beautifully written. And Phil, where are we going next?
Well, the next thing I'm going to do is toss a poem over to you, Naomi. And this is My Life by Forgotten Dreams.
Yes. Okay. By Forgotten Dreams, his smile changed my life. Worn blue jeans, skies fade into dusty periwinkle as twilight bleeds like a watercolor. His laugh, fireworks, explosive and sparkling, carrying across the backyard party from stretched mouth to my seashell ears. Autumnal equinox radiates the butterscotch. Sun seeps through tall windows, coating curled bodies reposed on soft cloud sheets. Noses tap coded messages as lips meet in a swirling of spice, warm laundry. His glowing face reflects my interior. A history of us is mapped on his skin, beginning at crinkled eyes, tracing a network past to upwards, curved commissure. His smile is warm baked pie, cozy cotton blankets, a looping treasured song, home, and poem. I really love this. You know, the way she took the you know, the descriptions, they're so unique. Worn blue jean skies fade into dusty periwinkle. You know, the way she describes his laughter, as fireworks, explosive and sparkling. And then she drifts into the autumn. The butterscotch sun seeps, you know, through tall windows. And then the way she ties it all up, you know, in the last part, the third part, is just beautiful. And his smile is warm baked pie, cozy cotton blankets, a looping treasured song, and home. You know, just a beautiful testimony, so heartfelt, and a wonderful testimony to a loved one here. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this is just absolutely beautiful. It has amazing use of imagery. I like how she goes into the imagery of the butterscotch sun seeps through tall windows. And I also really liked the couple last stanzas where a history of us is mapped on his skin, beginning at crinkled eyes. So you can, you know, see how the eyes, you know, crinkle as the smile hits them. And I particularly liked his smile as warm baked pie. There's something so comforting about describing somebody's smile, somebody's personality as warm baked pie. So beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I really love that warm baked pie. You know, it's just so unique and so beautifully said there. And Phil, your thoughts?
Oh, you know, I thought this was just excellent imagery throughout this piece. But the imagery, you know, was really because, you know, I loved the wonderful and unique description that they pulled into this. You know, I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, warm blue jean skies right off the top. That was like, oh, yes, yes, yes. Twilight bleeds like watercolor. Well, you know, if anyone's ever seen watercolor running down the page, it's a beautiful addition. His laugh is fireworks. You know, I mean, my seashell ears, that was unique. But then, you know, further down, then all of a sudden we get into soft cloud sheets. Butterscotch sun, nose tap coated messages as lips meet in a swirling of spice and warm laundering. Oh, that's unique. It's very unique. But, you know, anybody, I don't know about anybody else, but when I read that, you know, all of a sudden I had, like, you know, when you're out there and you're doing the laundry and you smell the detergent, you smell the warmth from the heat, from the dryer, or, you know, you smell the wonderful outdoors, you know, in the wind and you know, when you're drying clothes on the line, you know, either way, it's just, it draws in so many wonderful memories, you know, and I think that that's really wonderful. And then, where's the other one? His smile is warm baked pie. I mean, that's just great. And cozy cotton blankets. I don't know. It's just, there's so much happening here, and I really thought it was wonderful. And it did bring a smile, I have to say. So wonderful, wonderful job, and thanks for sharing Forgotten
mm-hmm.
Dream. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It does bring a smile, and, you know, and it does bring, like, a soft, warm feeling, a cozy feeling, you know, especially with that last part there, you know, you're overwhelmed, well, not overwhelmed, but I mean, you're swept up in like this cozy, warm feeling. So beautiful, beautiful right here by Forgotten Dream. And Phil, what is our next poem going to be?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I know. yes. I think it's my turn. At least I hope so. If not, I'm totally confused. Next one I'm going to put up is Poetry Stick Forgiveness by L.M. Samurai. There were already eras when I gritted my teeth, aimed at the cauldron of your phantasm of phantasms, Don't look in someone else's mirror. It's soaked in my smile, you marketplace mariachi. I'm eating your words. Hunger leaves you no choice, bastards. Empty words, aporias, false notes, vester, vestra, vestrum, feelings, projection. You, salon-like apostrophe. Big forces are part of the game. Paul the man told me, with an absence of manners, fit in this map. Only those with style, the linguistic semanticist. Apostles with all that's intelligible. For the mind of the intelligible and logical, it can hardly be understood. One can barely hear it, and it brings a tearful smile, like scratches of roses. It lies here in a cold grave. Minerva's tree and a jug of crops. Her name is Octavia. She reads Waverly to Rimbaud, the musician. She sings to him. She thins the cigarette butts. She extinguishes last on the worst mold. Remember the ancient poetic city. Remember Babylon. Remember Chronicler. Lower your collar, even though you're at the counter. Judging by your last collection, poetry looks at you under the eye because you can't whine, nor to feel sorry for herself. She plays with me. Each verse is one man. Each person is a birth. Each man looks his future killer in the eye. I was smiling. It's nice to die with a smile on my lips. The poem is who I am. Waving her hand casually, frivolity. Everyone smiles and forgives. Call me. I live in Belgrade, and I am a colorful skirt, and in a colorful skirt, and home.
I love that you put in there. You know, this is such a unique, well-written piece. You know, you really get to know the person, the character. And, you know, I love the play, the way that she plays back and forth, the writer with the character here. And, you know, I love that she wrote, that she gave us those notes at the end. Paul the Man was a Belgian-born literary critic and literary theorist, as Scott described him, Edward Waverley is like Don Chicot. And poetry claims that Rimbaud was a youthful and experienced writer. So she names all those people in the poem, throughout the poem. But I loved how she took that picture. And, you know, she ran with it, and she wrote this. She composed this out of it. And call me. I live in Belgrade, and I am in a colorful skirt, and in a colorful skirt. So just, you know, this complex character, you know, that she created here is just absolutely amazing, I thought. So well written. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this definitely had intriguing and thought-provoking lines. I like how she brings us, as you said, into a character, into a person who seems to be looking back and life lessons that have been learned. I really like where she says, don't look in someone else's mirror. You know, like the whole idea of don't try to be someone else. Be yourself. And the figure spit from his mouth, only those with style, you linguistic semantics, apostles of all that's intelligible for the mind of the intelligible and logical. It can hardly be understood. You know, it just makes me think of the whole idea of that fine line between intelligence and, you know, BS, and, you know, how easily people can be fooled. And I don't know if that's what she meant by it, but that's what it makes me think of. I really like that how this goes into the idea of the poets throughout history. Remember the ancient poets, remember Babylon, remember chronicler, lawyer, collier, even though you're at the counter. I don't know. It's like, it's just like I said, it's intriguing because there's so much to digest and take in. And it's a, like, look at history, how oftentimes the small things are as important as the big things. So very well done.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, great words of wisdom throughout it. But, I love the way, just the way it's composed. It goes here, it goes there. One can, you know, the mind, for the mind of the intelligible and logical, it can hardly be understood. One can barely hear it. It brings a tearful smile like scratches of roses. It lies here in a cold grave. And, you know, she goes on to talk about Babylon there's so much wisdom and so much, it's so layered, this poem, you know, you could just dissect it, you know, but line by line, I think, and you'd find different things inside of it. So amazing mastery of words here. And Phil, your thoughts?
So this is a very clever piece. Lots of thought went into it, each section of it. I thought it was well done and creative throughout. I thought it was just a fine work all the way through. So it definitely wasn't something that she just sat down and, you know, popped out. You know, she had to think about each direction she was going to go between Don Quixote and Rimbaud and
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think she did a great job with that. You know, the image she used, I find to be very unique, because some people would look at that and see a laugh, and you know, a laugh with her hand in front of her face. Others might look and see tears, but it's a wonderful, wonderful image. And I've seen similar, you know, where they're pencil drawings, and I don't know how you do that. I mean, I can't draw a straight line with a ruler, so I'm envious of the artist as well. Just a wonderful, wonderful piece and wonderful prompt, you know, to be pulled from. So nice work, L.M. Samurai.
Yeah, indeed. And you know, the artwork is by Shania McDonough. And, you know, she's the artist from Western Ireland. And, you know, yeah, just amazing. You know, that's the one that, you know, that could be a photograph. That really could be a photograph there. Just amazing, that art. And, yeah, just an amazing, amazing piece here by I.M. Samurai. Beautiful, you know, and very clever and well written. So bravo, bravo. And, Phil, where are you taking us next?
Well, let me see. I think I'm going to harass Pam this time around. So, Pam, get ready to be harassed. It's official. It's up.
I'm ready, as always.
Okay. Power of a Smile by Daniel Boone.
All right. Power of a Smile by Daniel Boone. A smile is a warm kiss upon the giver. If only we could bottle up every smile when we need comfort. We could tap into an endless supply of smiles to help heal us, to help lift us up. Smiles are precious gifts to one another that should be treasured and held in high regard. Smiles are the soul's expression of happiness. With a simple gesture of a smile, the world can change for the better. Smiles can launch 1,000 stars and send them into motion. Every smile embraces a warm heart. End poem. I don't know why I just started to say beautifully written.
Well, it is beautifully written. And, you know, a beautiful, beautiful read. Pam there. Yeah, I just love this by Danielle Jam. You know, You know, what if we could bottle up every smile when we need comfort? Wouldn't that be just awesome? You know, take off the lid and a smile would come out. I just love that thought there. Just, you know, very creative, but, you know, also in its simplicity, it's beautiful. You know, smiles are precious gifts to one another, and indeed they are. You know, I think we missed smiles during the epidemic, you know, with the masks. A lot of people said that, you know, you couldn't see people smiling. So I think we got hungry for smiles. And, you know, it's really, smiles make the world go around. And this, you know, this poem is really, really reflect. Haido says the power of a smile. And so true. Beautifully written by Daniel Zam here. And Phil, your thoughts.
You know, I really loved his first, what are they, 1, 3, 4, 6 lines. A smile is a warm kiss upon the giver. If only we could bottle up every smile when we need comfort, we could tap into an endless supply of, you know, what, you know, to help lift us up. It's just a great brevity. I call it a brevity. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. But it's beautifully done, and it is something to think about. You know, if we could only do that, if we could capture that, you know, put them in our pocket and hang on to them for later in the day when things just aren't really going the greatest. And you just go, oh, wait, I have a couple extra smiles here, you know. And they're contagious. They're free. They're wonderful. So I think that it was nicely captured here. And I think that Daniel did a nice job with it. And Pam, that was a nice read.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Indeed. And Pam, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I like this. It's absolutely beautifully written. I love the straightforward language. I love the wisdom within it, how he reminds us that how important smiles are, how they can put a life, you know, life into motion, how they can, you know, they are gifts. Smiles are precious gifts to one another that should be treasured and held in high regard. And I also really like with a simple gesture of a smile, the world can change for the better. It's an excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, indeed. Beautiful, beautifully written. I always enjoy, you know, thank you, Danielle, Jam, you know, for participating, encouraging us, and always supporting our shows by your writing. Just amazing. And we really appreciate it. And Phil, where are you taking us next?
See, I knew she was coming back to me. Inevitably. Okay. I have the next one for you, Naomi. And this is called Catwalk by Tex Poet Civil.
Quack. The Tech Poet Civil. I was seeing them walking on the ramp with grace and pride, spreading the hottest trend in fabric, in color, shape, and style that has come out from a designer's file. It is not a matter of dressing loud or low, tights with flare and flow, with cuts and curves, with twists and turns. It is all about a dazzling fashion show. I turn my lens and set the time, tune the pixel that I need now to find. I focus on life as it weaves the story of virtue and vice. I try to pen down the advice. Life is precious and so much dear. Tall or short, dark and fair, all that does not matter. Let the fashionable mind be without any fear. Clothe with yarns of compassion and care. Make up the face with color and shades, with probity and equity as the base, with poise and placidity at the upper phase. The gust of wind or heat of the sun will never erase or burn, will never dim the glare that radiates everywhere, will not touch the age anywhere. You will be at peace from there. We'll hold up the crown forever. End poem. Yeah, I really loved this poem is it talks about, I think he's talking about, the catwalk. It's catwalk at fashion show, but I think he's talking about, much deeper, that what counts is really what in the inner beauty than the outside beauty here. When he says, we'll never dim the gust of wind of heat or of the sun, will never erase or burn, will never dim the glare that radiates everywhere, will not touch the age anywhere. You will be at peace from there. We'll hold up the crown forever. So, you can be beautiful, if you're, everybody is beautiful, but in the inside is what counts, beautiful, being beautiful in the inside. Yeah, I love his descriptions, and I love the rhyme and flow of this poem. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. This is beautiful, and I think you really hit the nail on the head. The whole idea of that, finding that inner beauty, that peace and grace, that harmony on the inside that allows you to wear a crown. And, I do like how he takes us into the imagery with the, as he says, it is not a matter of judging loud or low, types of flare and flow with cuts and curves with twists and turns. It's all about dazzling fashion show. I turn my lens and set the time. I like how he shows us through the eyes of someone who is taking the pictures, who is observing these girls and seems to know the fashion world, knows that the beauty that's on the outside only lasts for so long. And, beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You really nailed it there, Pam. Said it more eloquently than I did. I'm kind of getting back into the show's mumbling on my words tonight. Just a wonderfully well-written piece here. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, I like how he goes from the catwalk. And then at the end, he starts saying what's most important. Let the fashionable mind be without any fear, clothed with yarns of compassion and care. Make up the face with color and shade, with probity and equity as the base. Instead of, looking for all the makeup, put other things in its place. Instead of the fancy clothes, go back to the compassion of what that person has inside. And he does. I think it's nicely expressed here. I thought it was clever. Well worded, and the thoughts were well presented to the reader. So nicely done. Thanks, Tech Poet Tibbet. I always try to mess up his name. Wonderful job.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful job, instead. Indeed. And, very wise message that inner beauty is what shines true, true and through. Beautiful write here by Tech Poet Seville. And I hope we see more of this poet. I haven't seen him. Did I read him? I don't know if I read him. I think I read him once or twice before, but hope we see more. And so, Phil, where are you taking us next?
I have no idea. You read, so now I guess it's on me. So I just have to figure out where I'm going next. You guys are off the road. Okay, I'm going to grab this next one. And this next piece is called We beached ourselves at daybreak by Mermaid. So, make this king size. We beached ourselves at daybreak, recalling ancient temples of faces grayed with floods, hailing forth cyan currents with quickened azure beams. Your face chilled voices in my subdued trachea as a full-blown caricature filled a doubt-ridden lunar mind. There remained a slope on the clouds of wandering minds as granite debauchery slid and we beached ourselves at daybreak. Moon-blinded, caught in the light, your eyes clean, rain-washed, blue-watering our small green shoots, earth-washed amidst fallen leaves and fall.
I love the description there, the last description, moon blinded, caught in the light, your eyes clean, rain washed blue, watering our small green shoots, earth washed amidst fallen leaves. Like, it's just so many unique lines in this, so wonderfully written, very, so creative. And the mixture of colors throughout, just amazing. What did you think? And I love the title, We Beached Ourselves at Daybreak. An amazing title, too. Amazing right to go along with that picture there. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this poem. It had amazing imagery and metaphors. I like the artwork too. I have to say that painting there, or that drawing there, he reminds me of like a young Paul Newman. There's something in the way the eyes crinkle in the smile that, you know, if you look back at Paul Newman in his younger years, the way he smiled. And I really like how this is sensual and yet it's so delicately sensual. Your face chilled voices in my subdued trachea as I full-blown caricature filled a double-ridden lunar mind. There remained a slope on the clouds of wandering mind. You can just see her looking at him smiling and being caught up in the daydream. And moon-blinded, caught in the light, your eyes clean, rain-washed blue. You know, it's such a beautiful way to describe those blue eyes. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, I agree. It does have, you know, such a soft, beautiful, subtle sensuality to the whole piece, the whole feeling of the piece. It just, you know, and it's an art to be able to do that. So amazing by Mermaid here. And Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I had a voice slip in my mouth. Okay, I thought this piece was enjoyable and well done, nicely pulled together. And I, you know, each stanza was unique in itself. The one I pulled on was moon blinded, caught in the light, your eyes clean, rain washed blue, twittering our small green shoots, earth washed amidst fallen leaves. I just like the imagery in that stanza. When I, you know, was trying to plug something, I thought, I don't like that one. But yes, I thought the imagery was great throughout as well. But yes, a beautiful piece and very, very well done. Nicely put together.
Yeah, nicely put together indeed. Very unique, clever use of, you know, imagery created through these lines. So amazing, amazing right here. And Phil, what will be our next piece?
Gosh, well, Pam Ray. Should pop out of a mirror somewhere. Here we go.
I am here, yes.
Okay, Pam, this one's called Her Smile Speaks by Doc Frank. So whenever you're ready.
All right. Her Smile Speaks by Doc Frank. The moment opens in a diorama of impermanence, breathed into a vision the first time, the pleasure it holds, and then whatever it is that pleasure leaves behind, like timorous wings let there be some uncertainty about your departure. Nothing was accepted. Nothing looked beyond. Nothing is remembered. Nothing forgotten. Disclosed the empty day in the ground glass haze of evening, slipping away in the diminishing grace or the diminishing gaze and poem.
Now, I love this, you know, this poem. You know, I believe that to be maybe a picture of his family, and her smile speaks like timorous wings in the diminishing glass. I don't know. I just got this feeling of kind of like nostalgic sadness. I don't know. I could be wrong here, but you know, I don't know. It's just made me kind of. I don't know if this is somebody that passed on, or you know, I don't know. It just gave me this sentiment, this heartfelt sentiment of loving somebody and appreciating them, you know, for their, you know, their smile or what they, all that they, cast off, all their inner beauty, all their, what they were. It just enveloped me with a kind of a very heartfelt, but like a longing, a sadness here. I could be wrong, but that's just the feeling I got from it. Pam, you read that beautifully. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have to agree that there is a very sad tone to this. I almost got the feeling, I have to say, of someone who died. And in fact, the imagery of in the ground glass haze of evening really made me think of a car accident. And, you know, of course, I could be completely off on that. But, you know, I also can see it definitely as a metaphor, and just the way that, you know, perhaps there's like a kind of a foggy evening or something like that, or a rainy evening. I really like that. And no matter what, you know, whether it's just, and maybe it's just because the person is saying goodbye, like you see where it says, let there be some uncertainty about your departure. Nothing was accepted. Nothing looked beyond. You know, like you could look at this as death. You could, or you can look at it even as someone that you hate to be separated from, because when they're in the same room with you, when they're in the same space with you, their smile gives off that light that your heart needs. I just think this is beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Just love this. I think it's one of my favorites by Doc Frank that I've read so far. You know, just an amazing write there. You know, the use of the clever use of some of the language and the ground glass haze of evening slipping away in the diminishing gaze. Yeah, that's very creative, beautiful lines they're used. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I kind of agree with everybody, however I want to say it. It was a nicely penned piece. I thought it was a loving tribute to someone loved. You know, and you know, I definitely thought there was a loss involved. Let there be some uncertainty about your departure. Nothing was accepted. Nothing looked beyond. Nothing is remembered. Nothing forgotten. It's just disclosed the empty day. I mean, it just is. There's definitely a sorrow here, and definitely a loss, I believe. And it was very well penned and put together. And you know, I have to. You know, it's a stretch here, but I think that the prompt at the top is a reflection of the smile that he's speaking, you know, and perhaps the loss as well. So just nicely done, Doc Frank. Thanks for sharing this one. It's an excellent piece.
Mhm. Yeah, thank you so much, Doc Frank, for writing for us. And you know, that's a wonderful, wonderful picture there of you know, wonderful. And the smiles are beautiful in that picture, so it's amazing. And Phil, where are we going on next?
Okay, well, the next one I'm going to put up is for you, Naomi. And this is called Smile of Victory by K.H. Ventura.
Okay, I'm getting there. Yep, my computer is a little bit slow. Okay, I'm there. Smile of Victory. This is the smile at every end of the tunnel, the hope that arrives unexpectedly. The look of pure innocence and gratitude. Yesterday I lived in misery. Today I am constellation shining on sorrowful nights. You're in the corner losing, but promise me you won't give up the fight. Promise me you'll be brave. Promise me you won't go under the tide waves. Hold your head high when the thunderstorms get stronger and breathing is no longer important for you to survive. Be still and exhale when tornadoes and hurricanes collide. You are the silver lining when nothing seems to go right. You are the blackbird in the flock of doves. Let your mystery soar. You are the warning before catastrophe hits the door, a hidden passage waiting to be found. And when you finally reach me, we'll fly together, chirping on consecrated grounds. End poem. What a beautiful, you know, beautiful, beautiful message in this right here. You know, talks about, I think, aging, you know, and you arriving at the end of that tunnel, but also great, great words of empowerment and wisdom throughout the whole piece here. Promise me you won't go under the tide waves. Hold your head high when the thunderstorms get stronger. You know, and that phrase there, and breathing is no longer important for you to survive. You know, be still and exhale. Just a wonderful write here all through by K.H. Ventura. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, yeah, this is amazing and beautiful all the way through. I like how it seems to be of the perspective of a spouse who has passed on and is speaking from the beyond and saying, you know, don't give up the fight, you know, keep living. And then I love that sense of hope, you know, in the end, you know, and when you finally reach me, when it's, you know, when it's your turn and you reach me, we'll fly together. There's such a wonderful sense of spirituality and hope. And I really liked, you are the blackbird in a flock of doves. Let your mystery soar. Because it's such a nice take on the whole idea of being the black sheep of the family. But rather than going with the sheep, I love the whole metaphor of somebody being the blackbird in a flock of doves, somebody who stands out. And so I thought this was just a beautiful, heartfelt write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love those passages that you reread there, Pam. There, you are the blackbird in a flock of doves. Let your mystery soar. Just another beautiful line there, amidst so many others. And Phil, your thoughts?
you know, I thought this was a really well-written piece. when I looked at it at first, it was, you know, I thought it was about, you know, aging and just growing older.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I lived in misery. Today I'm a constellation shining on sorrowful night. You're in the corner losing, but promise me you won't give up the fight. Then I thought it was someone that was fighting or trying to hang on and not let go of life. And I was like, well, okay. But there's just a few kind of interpretations you can get from it. You know, promise me you'll be brave. Promise me you won't go under. It's like, hang on. It's like, wow, okay. And then to me, it was kind of like, hang on until I can get there, kind of ran through my brain, you know. But I didn't get that one to stick very well. But I think that this is a great piece because it's interpreted, you know, definitely by the reader. Because the writer is giving you so many options, so many paths to walk down and to go with your thoughts. And I'm totally with Pam. You know, I had this one stanza picked out from the beginning. You are the blackbird in a flock of doves. Let your mystery soar. You are the warning before catastrophe hits the door. And that was a beautiful image because if you, you know, when you hear that, you visualize, at least I do, you know, all these white birds with just that one black bird right in the middle of it. And I think that is kind of a beautiful image in its own way. And I think that this, I don't know, I just think this was really nicely done. But, and again, you know, I go on and on and on. A hidden passage waiting to be found. And when you finally reach me, we'll fly together, chirping on consecrated ground. You know, that ending on that was pretty incredible. You know, that tells me, you know, that, you know, when you get here, you know, we're going to be together. And consecrated ground is holy ground, you know. So I don't know. I think that it's, I don't know, a beautiful piece in many ways that you can interpret it. Or take it, or you know, put your spin on it, more or less, so to speak. But lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So nice job, A.K. No, K.H. I don't know where it came from. K.H. Ventura. Nice work. Really nicely done.
Yeah, I hope we see more from her. You know, this is an awesome writing. And, you know, I was reading over the comments and, you know, I think all our interpretations of the poem are okay, because she says in one of her comments, she says, this is one of those poems where the reader will just have their own perspective on it. So, you know, I think it was written in that, you know, in that way that, you know, you can pull all those different interpretations from the write itself. And in that way, it's awesome, you know, awesome writing. So, bravo. And Phil, what is our next piece?
I do know, but give me 1 second and I'll tell you. And I got to do these things. The next piece I'm going to read is it's right here. I got it right here. And this is called Butterfly Dreams by Mithri Arjan. Okay. Okay, wishing to be a butterfly, little one with open arms, in everyday play she ran. Cheeky ones follow her, a race of their own they had, orange, yellow, and pink wings. Sparkling eyes and her happiness bloomed like flowers for those butterflies as they were everywhere circling her. Looking at them as a little girl, wandered on bond she had with them. Her cheerfulness made my day always. I waited for her play to end one day, asked her which butterflies she liked. She replied, all colors, sizes, and smiles. I got my foot straight this time. Don't pick moments. Wow, excuse me. Don't pick moments, good and bad. Those pass like floating clouds with time. Live life in open eyes and hearts. Let sunny smiles shine bright in dark times. As bad days away, as bad dreams end poem.
Oh, what a beautiful read there, Jean. And, you know, what a beautiful write. You know, I got my thoughts straight this time. Don't pick moments, good and bad. Both pass like floating clouds with time. Live life in open eyes and hearts. Let sunny smiles shine bright in dark times. Bad days to slip away as bad dreams. You know, what a beautiful, what a wonderful message there, you know, of, you know, just enjoy, you know, don't pick this and that, just live, you know, live life and enjoy it, you know, live and just live freely. And such a very spiritual piece, you know, of hope and just beautifully put. What are your thoughts, Pam?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. I really like how it's all about the wisdom we can gather from a child's perspective. The idea of not choosing a favorite, but rather appreciating every blessing that we get. I really love the imagery of sparkling eyes and her happiness bloomed like flowers for those butterflies as they were everywhere circling her. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Indeed. And Phil, your thoughts on this piece?
You know, I like this piece. I thought it had that lightheartedness that she's trying to convey to everyone. And I have to say that this one stanza, I got my foot straight this time. Don't pick moments, good and bad. Both pass like floating clouds with time. And I thought there was great advice in that stanza. You know, you can't sit and dwell on, oh, you know, this is terrible, and you know, and it's the ups and downs. It's all a balance. You know, the good days, the bad days, they balance out in the long run. So you just can't sit there and expect every day to be good. Because then you settle for disappointment, and you can't, you know, you can't dwell on all the badness because that's going to pass. You know, I mean, everything passes. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to remember that, but it's true. So I like that. Both pass like floating clouds with time. So nicely done, and great piece there, Mithri Arjun. Nice one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the, you know, the title to Butterfly Dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, what a beautiful title to a wonderful piece here. Just an amazing, amazing writing again. And Phil, our next piece will be?
I don't know. I don't know. I have to find one. I think it's Pam's reading, correct? Okay, I got one for you, Pam.
All right.
This is called Mischievous Smiles by Betty Page.
All right. Mischievous Smiles by Betty Page. Purring round my legs, cute, soft, fluffy calico, pawing, meowing. Swiftly ran across, pulling down rolls of paper, knocking over things. Playfully whipped tail, staring up at me sweetly. Hypnotic green eyes, destroyed the whole house. Innocent angelic face, mischievous smiles. End poem.
destroyed the whole house. Yeah, cats can do that. And you know, the I can just see the cat there with the, you know, swiftly ran across, pulling down rolls of paper and knocking over things. I think that, you know, that Betty Page captured the, you know, the action of the cat so wonderfully. You know, it just goes along with that picture so amazingly well. That was an incredible write there, a read there, Pam. Amazing read. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I had the last one when I finished doing the poem read, because I just found it to be destroyed the whole house, and as an angelic face, mischievous smile. I thought that Betty did a wonderful job at, you know, Devil's Little Kitty. I said, great descriptions here, and a great job finding the humor, you know, because sometimes those things are not always funny. You know, sometimes you just want to say, what have I done? But the reality is that kitties will be kitties will be kitties. And I think that Betty, you know, shows herself as a good sport here. And it says, my new kitten. So good for her. I bet she's got a new companion. And sounds like it's going to keep her busy. Nice work.
Yeah. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I really enjoyed reading this. She really captured the personality of a cat, especially a young kitten. I actually missed having cats. You know, I thought this was really fun all the way through. But I do like the humor in destroyed the whole house, innocent angelic face, mischievous smile. You know, and that's so much like a cat to run around knocking everything over and just still be and still and be able to get away with it with that angelic face. So wonderfully written and very well done.
Yeah, makes me think of my cat when she was a kitten. They do have, you know, that angelic face that you forgive them for all that they do. But yeah, just a wonderful write here by Betty Page. So Phil, where are we going next?
Well, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Weaver of Dreams, and it's called That Smile. Pam, we have an audio on that one.
All right, let me quickly move on over there, and here we go.
Twinkling eyes, a sexy smile, mischief's your middle name. Let's get into trouble together, things will never be the same. We're older now, more mature, on silly tricks we'll usually pass. But when it comes to robbing banks, we'll Bonnie and Clyde your ass.
I love when it comes to Robin Banks, well, Bunny and Glide your ass. way to go, Weaver. You know, I love that line. It's so clever. That last line, the Bonnie and Clyde line there. You know, but she did capture the picture so wonderfully, you know, twinkling eyes, a sexy smile, mischief, your middle name. She captured that character so amazingly well, just in those two lines there. What did you think, Pam?
You know, I really enjoy this. It was a clever and fun brevity. I like how it's about two people growing old together and kind of looking at their, like, mischievous ways in their youth and how there's just some things that don't change, like that spark of mischievousness just sticks with them their whole life. So just really fun and very well done.
Oh, I agree. Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought that these were just two wonderful stanzas. You know, in the beginning it was, you know, twinkling eyes, a sexy smile, mistress, your middle name. Let's get into trouble together. Things will never be the same. And that's just the start, you know, but the second one, we're older now, more mature, on silly tricks, we'll usually pass. But when it comes to Robin Banks, well, Bonnie and Clyde, your ass. I thought it was just, you know, yes. The devil, and it continues. And what is it? To be continued. Dot, dot, dot. You know, just a nicely done piece. I love the humor in it, and I thought that it was just a great brevity. So, excellent job, Weaver. Excellent job.
Yeah, indeed. Excellent job. And, you know, very clever and well done. And, Phil, where are we going next?
Well, the next one I have is for you.
Oh.
I think I've won track here. Okay, this one is called Angel in Disguise by Fay Wray.
Fay Wray, Angel in Disguise. Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay, I'll read it, but my computer is low battery. 1 second. I'm just gonna connect my computer because it's gonna close any minute here. it got unconnected on me. Okay, there I go. Angel in Disguise. I sat in my car long enough, I believed, to allow all traces to tears to vanish, of tears to vanish. A Marine's daughter isn't supposed to cry or show pain, to be anything but strong. And so honoring the teachings of my father, I wiped away all traces of weakness, gathered my courage, breathed long and deep, then left my car to go to appointment with the doctor who had deemed me somehow imperfect, flawed, irrational, and deserving of abuse, staggering in pain, reaching for the heavy glass and iron door. I spotted her, the stereotypical little old lady, stooped over and undeniably suffering, years of training to respect my elders, immediately canceled all I was feeling, all I was terrified of. Without a thought, I ran for the door. This good old lady shouldn't have to be open doors for herself, expecting a wordless exchange. She instead offered such profound kindness that my world, so long spinning off its axis, briefly fell back into its proper place. The sweet old lady, This dear octogenarian, took one look at me and with one sentence blew through all my time-tested walls. With a grin stretching ear to ear, she hugged me, patting my back, then blew apart the rest of my armor with these words, "You'll get your reward in heaven, honey." How did you? She know I was suffering, that I needed to be held and reassured. I was good that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. As a child, my mother once said to me, always be good and kind because you never know when you're talking to an angel in disguise. I was sure then and remained so to this day that I had met one. What other explanation could there be? She simply hugged me, imparted her words of comfort, smiled at me once again, then walked away without another word. God bless you, whoever you are. May your life be now pain-free. I hope you're somewhere enjoying your grandchildren, that your life is full of joy and happiness, because I don't know who you are. I never will. I will never be able to return the love you showed this stranger. So I pray you are blessed. I pray that each day brings that smile to your face, which you gave to me. End poem. Yeah, this is a heartfelt write, you know, about, you know, just someone who really changed their day, you know, changed this this poet's day by just a simple gesture, simple smile, simple words, and you know, just amazing right here, so heartfelt. Pam, your thoughts? Hello, Pam. Did Pam go?
She's going to go on Gore.
No, she did not. I was just on mute because it was a long read. Yeah, sorry. Okay. But this is a powerful and emotive write. I like how it touched on so many different emotions. It brings us into the life and thoughts of somebody who's going through a very difficult time, who feels like they should be stronger than they are feeling in the moment. You know, there's so much pressure on them because they are a Marine's daughter, because, you know, for whatever reason, their doctor seems not to believe what they have to say. And I like how she brings in the idea of how her years of training to respect her elders kick in, and she goes to help this elderly woman. And so to me, it's about the exchange of the kindness between the two of them, and how they bless each other. And I really thought this was a wonderful story poem all the way through. And, you know, I just really like how she captures that moment of two people being a blessing to each other. So very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, when you are, you know, the raised, I can only imagine, you know, raised by the Marine, you know, of course, you know, you're raised to be hard and strong and, you know, so not show your emotions. But, you know, you don't have to be a Marine's daughter. You know, there's so many people, so many parents, you know, they want their children to be strong. And, you know, they don't do it on purpose, but, you know, sometimes you don't show your emotions, and a little smile, a little pat on the back, a little word, it changes your day. And I think she demonstrated that so wonderfully in this write. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this was a lovely story told. I put here, funny how just one act of kindness can change our world. I thought it was very well penned piece and just well done. You know, in her reaching and opening the door for the woman was something that saved that woman from having to manage. But the woman's words changed her life or her perspective. Let's put it that way. And in the same respect, the woman gets the kindness wished upon her. So. It is a vicious cycle, isn't it? And I mean vicious in a good way. You know, if we were all kind to one another, the world would be a different place. But it's a beautiful job and very, very well done. Stay right. Thanks for sharing with us. Excellent.
Yes. Thank you so much. Faye Ray, for this wonderful story here told. So, and sounds so sincere, too, the way she wrote it. I think it was really, I don't want to advance, but I think I took it as on a personal level here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's so, it sounds so sincere, powerful, the way she wrote it. So great, great write. And Phil, where are you taking us next?
Okay. The next one I have is called Sweet Life by Rain 474. And the computer had this problem with staying in a large mode. Sweet Life. The weather of the room changed as a shower of rain pour opened its heart full, immersing us into the land of cool, where its effervescence rule crawls up the face full, raising the flag of hope, pulling down the curtains dark that stood like a bark between me and the light, which I thought was bright, only to discover it as a dream of mine. Folded, dried, and captured between the pages of old diaries are memories hived like stories, awaiting their turn to be heard. Just like the magical spell of the Mozart of music entail, tapping the foot on the bass note that sailed the hearts of every soul into the nimbus clouds where resides my treasure of tiny Tinkerbell moments, dipped in a syrup of pleasure, riding on the sledge of mile without wearing the off of mile, for the vector smile swindles it for Cinderella nights. Swishing the pissing vibes as if the night jasmine befall, covering me with a white skull, full of aroma my soul seeks for. Oh, luscious, lovely smile, when did you become my wife? I know not, but thanks for making me alive. End quote.
Oh, what a beautiful, you know, heartfelt testimony to his wife here. And, you know, so many creative lines. I just loved, just like the magical spell that Mozart of music entail, tapping the foot on the bass note that sailed the heart of every soul. You know, and the way he mentions a tiny Tinkerbell moment dipped in syrup of pleasure. Just, you know, such creative lines. So beautifully written here. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful write. I really like the imagery in that's just like a bark between me and the light, which I thought was bright, only discover it was a dream mind folded, dried, and captured between the pages of old diaries. There's something very nostalgic about that. You know, the idea of waking up from a dream and realizing that the reality is even better. So beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And you read that amazingly well. Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was a nice piece. You know, the weather of the room changes, a shower of rain pour, opening its heart full, immersing us into the land of cool. It was an intriguing way to begin this right. And I'm like, okay. And then it goes on to where its effervescence rule calls up the faithful, raising the flag of hope, pulling down the dark curtains. So, I mean, I think it was well worded. And I think the images definitely build upon each other from stanza to stanza. And I think it was very nicely penned. So great job, Rain 474. And thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, thank you, Rain 474, indeed. Amazing right here. And where does that take us next, Phil?
Well, that takes me over to Pam.
All right.
Not Everyone is the Same by Adrian 41062.
All right. Not Everyone is the Same by Adrian 41062. And, sorry, waiting for things. All right. And it goes like this. I called out to you from a distance. You turned with fear on your face, hobbling quicker on your walking stick. At the car, you turned to me saying, leave me alone, don't hurt me. That wasn't even a thought in my mind. You sat down saying you had nothing. I was in the cash point queue. I'm sure you thought I wanted the money you took out of the cash point. The trouble is you left it in the slot. I was just following you to give you your money. The beaming smile as you thank me. Don't judge every book by its cover. End poem.
This is, you know, interesting, you know. You know, of course people are, you know, can be very what's that in English? Garde their, insecure sometimes with strangers. You know, afraid or, they're going to be, especially when they're coming out of a cash point there, a cash, I didn't know that was called a cash point in English, but, one of those machines, the bank machines, but, so a very interesting story here told by Adrian. Really enjoyed this one. What did you think, Phil?
I thought it was very well penned. In this day and age, it's so hard to be optimistic, and we all have to try not to be so suspicious of everyone. This is a great case in point. The person who was trying to get away really had no reason to get away from them. That suspicion that we build up from the day to day, just the horror stories we all hear, about the troubles. I think it's kind of sad, the first two stanzas of this, because when it turns around, the trouble is you've left it in the slot, the money. I was just following you to give you your money. When that comes to light, it shows how sad the first two stanzas are. When you're first going down it, you see anticipation of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? But when it turns around to see that it was a positive action that was trying to occur, kind of makes you go, well, that's a shame, because the initial thoughts from a lot of individuals now is distrust. And I think that this kind of lends a hand back to, not everybody you see is out to get you. And I thought it was well done, nicely expressed. Good work, Adrian.
Mm-hmm. Good work indeed. It is, like you said, Phil, nowadays, more and more people, and that's the word I was looking for, suspicious. But, and it is, it is sad in the reality of today, especially in bigger cities. I think we find that more and more, very well penned piece here by Adrian. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a thoughtful write all the way through. I don't know if it's the area he's lived in, but I've never actually heard them called a cash point. Like, I always just say ATM, and that's
mm-hmm.
what I've always
heard. ATM machine, yeah.
Yep, so I'm thinking maybe it's the area that he lives in. I do like how this touches on an important issue, and it touches on it from both sides, because, yes, we live in a world where little old ladies who are walking across a parking lot by themselves should be and have to be scared and on the defensive, and that's a sad reality. But we also live in a world where we have to learn not to, as he says in the end line, judge a book by its cover. So just a wonderful, thoughtful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, well, very well penned indeed. Thank you, Adrian. Another poet that encourages us every, seems to encourage us every show. And so appreciate you. And so where are we going next, Phil?
Well, Naomi, I have the next one up for you. JR called it Gelassen Gelastic.
Gelassen Gelastic. Gelassen Gelastic. Misery uprooting through the blossoming dreams that I once had. No longer am I able to enlighten those who enable. I'm simply a fable. Whether to be believed is to be given more or less what I received. Return to sender. I close my eyes while I surrender. Pretending that the fallen petals that escaped your flower are like the entangled hairs you left behind in my shower. for what was once ours is starting to change by the hour, for I believe that there was once a perfect moment suspended in time. Close my eyes for the second time. Through the misty, self-made clouds, handprints slow. It's like I've made myself a thinly dim window where I'd write your name if I had a pen. I don't feel like using my imagination again. Yet through the smoke and mirrors, I see your curve. I would swerve. I would swerve. I'm obsessed with your curve. I should learn. I should learn. I'm obsessed with your burn. Through every mistake, there's a brighter light that awaits. It's not the lighter that I held to your pictures. Close my eyes. Watch the flame glow brighter, growing in size. I held you closer this time, your smile shining lighter, ignited through the misty clouds that once surrounded me, no longer in a cuboid that I thought was to keep me clean. I think of your smile through every undeserved dream. I'm left with your curve that only grows wider, it seems. And that's why I hold you closer than my own dreams, because your smile is the answer to the greatest of scenes, because your curve is my favorite from the girl of my dreams. End poem. Yeah, he says in his notes there, there's death. So, you know, very heartfelt right here. I don't know what jealous means. You can probably tell me what that means. But, you know, I love the rhythm and the flow of this whole piece. It just came and grasped me inside, you know, the way that he holds the lighter to the picture, the way it flows all the way through, just an amazing right here by Luke J.R. My gracious, I just enjoyed this so much. Just came and really, really hit a spot with me here. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I thought there was kind of a delicate and romantic sensuality, this idea of being enraptured by someone's smile. I don't know if he wrote this just on theme or to a specific quote, but it reminds me of this quote, and I might be slightly paraphrasing, that says something along the lines of the most important curve on a woman is her smile, because he keeps saying your curve rather than curves. And so it really points to the idea of being enraptured with someone's smile, of wanting to not just imagine it, but to, you know, have the person there in front of you. I think of your smile through every undeserved dream. I'm left with your curve that only grows wider, it seems, and that's why I hold you closer than my own dreams. Wonderful rhyme and flow to this. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Oh, and Phil, thank you so much. You put up the definitions there. So a jealous sin is dimples. Okay, well, I learned something. And gelastic is a medicine relating to or causing laughter. Oh, so I learned some new English words tonight. That's great. And so your thoughts, Phil, on the piece?
You know, I thought this piece was wonderful. I loved all the reference points all the way through. And I say reference points, you know, just the stanzas were so well done. And there's a lot of them to go through, but I just think that they're all very, there's great imagery, great descriptions running throughout, you know, talking about the girl in his dreams. Not sure, you know, at one point he's It's not the lighter that I held to your picture. Close my eyes, watch the flame glow brighter, growing in size. I held you closer this time, your smile shining lighter. To me, that sounds like a separation and a reconciliation. And I could be totally off, totally off. But why else would you burn the pictures, you know, the images? But I don't know, there's just so much. I don't know, just wonderful, wonderful references to this girl of this dream. And Pam, you probably have a very valid point there with the use of the word curve instead of curves. Because, yeah, I remember that that prompt. It was a prompt that we used on a contest before about the most beautiful curve on a woman's body is the smile. I think that's it. I can't quote it. Yeah, I remember it. And when you said that, I'm like, yeah, good catch there, Pam, good catch. But, yeah, I think that it was just really, really nicely done. And I do like the fact that it's dimples. I thought that was interesting. And the use of, it said medicine, but it was to cause laughter. And I thought that was, you know, what a wonderful, happy title, you know. It doesn't come right out and say it, you know, you have to kind of think about it a minute. But it was definitely great reference points throughout. So nice job, Luke. Really well done piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really well done. Well written and, you know, very cleverly composed all throughout. Wonderful, wonderful piece here by Luke J.R. And, where are we going next, Phil?
I don't answer that. I don't know. I'm going somewhere. I know it.
Caught at a red light?
I'm always going to a red light. I spend half my life. Okay. sugar, honey, ice cream. Hang on. I'm going to hear again. I'll take it back up. Here it is. You know what? We're going to have carryovers. And I'm just going to figure out. I'm going to put up the last one as Eric Svensson's piece, Ciao Bella. Because I know he has an audio, and we always appreciate when people send them. So, Ciao Bella by Eric Svensson. Here we go.
Ciao Bella. Another day grimaced, news headlines cold, cry wolf howled louder than Arctic wind's bitter bites, cerebral concussion by midday, illusions, contusions and complexities, clenched jaw resolves spiraled out of control, until brush and bright, your sexy, quirky smile, bazooka shattered bedrock bedlam. Magical, mystical magician, you shone brighter than the Big Dipper. Joy de vivre, Niagara waterfall gushed. Cold, marbleized chagrin, slush puppy dissolved. Et tu, Brute. Dramatic clutch of chest, erudite execution of all grimaces, frowns, scowls, and crying wolves. Infused, saturated, endued, I, leaning tower of Pisa, stood up straight. Ciao, bello, then you were gone. Suave, sassy, self-assured, sprinkling your authentic stardust smile on Via Garibaldi. Supercharged, I sipped Campari on our hotel terrace. Think I met my doppelganger today. Say what, Caro? This guy just appeared out of nowhere. And his smile lit up the whole piazza. did he say anything? Only Etu Brute clutched his heart and disappeared with Ciao Bello. Ah, yeah, in Roma we say you met your socia in poems.
I'd love to know what socia. I have to look up that, see what that means. What is it?
Impersonator.
Oh, okay. What a great write by Eric Svensson here. I just love joie de vivre, like the Niagara Fall, waterfall gush, cold, marbleized, chagrin, flush puppy dissolved. It's brut, dramatic clutch of chest. And, leaning tower of pizza stood up straight. Ciao, Bella. They're just amazing right here with this. It's so much emotion, I find, you know, so much energy in this piece by Eric Svensson here. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I very much enjoyed this. I always like when we get a SoundCloud and a write from Eric. I like how there's an energy to this that's fun and, oh, am I still on mute? Nope, I'm not. Okay,
no.
Good. I suppose you guys would have said something, not let me keep talking for that long. But yeah, no, it was fun. It had a sexiness to it. I like the dramatic clutch of the chest, erudite execution of all grimaces, frowns, scowls, and crying wolves. Infused, saturated, I leaned tower of Pisa, stood up straight, Ciao Bello. You know, there's, you know, something so fun about the whole idea of having the seriousness of life just melt away in the gush of a smile. So beautifully written and very well done.
I agree. You know, and thank you so much for that SoundCloud, Eric Svensson. So appreciate it. You know, it's so amazing to hear his voice every time. And yeah, there is something, you know, like you said, so fun and energetic in this throughout this whole piece here. Just that it's just very engulfing and brings you into, draws you into the piece, you know, and keeps you there. And Phil, what are your thoughts?
You know, Eric never ceases to amaze me with his work. He has such wonderful ideas and great creativity in him that he takes something as simple as a smile and he creates this work of art in its own way. You know, he's got things in here that, I don't know, I don't think a smile would have ever taken me that way, but I loved it. I thought it was so well done. A smile lit up the whole piazza. Did he say anything? Only Tito Brute clutched his heart and disappeared with Ciao Bella. Here in Roma, we say, you met your socia. What, you know, just what a clever exit from the piece, and definitely leaves you thinking. So definitely a wonderful job, Eric. Great creativity as always. You know, you never cease to amaze me. Wonderful job. And Pam, I assume you'll be sending Naomi here a bill for the use of this poem, since it has your prompt from last week on it, right? I just want to say.
Oh,
you
know, absolutely. The bill is in the mail.
Okay.
Oh, did I? Did I use one of your prompts?
No, the reference in this poem goes back to Pam's prompt from last week, but it's just a mere mention in this. But when I saw it, I went, oh, stir up a little trouble here. It's me.
Do we have a lot of carryovers? Do we have a?
I think we only have 1, 2. We have 3.
3. Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah,
so well.
Not at all.
Ah. Okay, yeah. So we'll get to them in the next show. And thank you so much, Pam and Phil, for being there as always. And thank you, everybody, for writing and for Luke for being on the board. And I saw Jeremy there, too, so I want to say hi to Jeremy. And, you know, for everybody that encourages us, every contest and writes for us, thank you so, so much. And, yeah, so that's time to say just good night, girls, and
yes.
Have a sweet dream.
yes, wonderful job, everybody. Thank you, Pam. Great job on the phones. Great reach, everybody. Great comments. It's wonderful. Have a wonderful night. Stay tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, talk soon, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.